Hey, welcome back after worship. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the different people that we have leading you in worship and just taking that time to reflect and to remember just how amazing our God is and how we can worship Him. It's a big deal. Hey, if you are joining us for the first time today, I want to say thank you for hanging out with us at the River Church, TRC Online. I'm just grateful that you are spending a few moments of your life, your day, with us. And being that this is your first time, I want to just let you know, as all the people watching today, we're continuing on a series called Therefore. And Therefore is all about Ephesians. We're looking at the book of Ephesians. We're going chapter by chapter. And so we had an intro and went through chapter 1 and chapter 2. I'm starting with chapter 3 today, and the reason we call it therefore is because at the beginning of chapter 4, it is saying, it uses the word therefore in a lot of the different translations. So at the beginning of it, Paul is sharing about how amazing God is, what God has done, what Jesus has done for you and for me. And so from that point, he says, so therefore, this is how we need to respond. And it's just a really cool book about how we as the church should be living out our lives for God and for His glory. So anyway, I hope that you stay tuned in. You can also go back and watch the previous messages because we've recorded everything. And that's another way that you can engage with the app, is that the app has all of those prior messages as well as the audio. So you can just be driving in your car and listen to the audio as well. So there's all sorts of great stuff, resources for you on the app or online. So that's what we've been digging into. So this morning, I want to start the message with the first verse of chapter 1 or of the first verse of chapter 3 of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles, you can definitely jump in on that, flip to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1, and this is what it says. It says, "When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles," and then it goes dot dot dot. And I read this, and all of a sudden, it dawns on me that he's talking about this. He goes, you know, when I think about all this, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, the benefit of you Gentiles, he goes, I got to share this with you. So his thought breaks for this little moment. He'll go back into his thought in later verses, like verse 13, 14. He goes into it, and you'll be hearing about that next week. But for this week, I want to talk about this moment where Paul is just having this revelation. He's having this thought, and he wants to take us back to how good God is. And so he goes, when I think of all this, well, what is he thinking about? What's Paul thinking about in this? Well, he's thinking about spiritual blessing. He's thinking about God's free gift of grace that he has given to us. He's thinking about the peace that Jesus, because of what he has done for us, that peace that we have because of Jesus Christ. So he's also thinking about these are the things that makes being a prisoner all worthwhile. And I want to just say, because you look at it, he says, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles. He's not saying that he's a prisoner of Caesar, which he is. He's in house arrest right now. But he's talking about being a prisoner of Christ. You see, Paul not only had the realization that his steps were ordered by God, but that he had a mission to accomplish. And in this section of Scripture, verses 1 of chapter 3 to 13, it's in this section, it's giving us the why of his mission. And I want to just look at that for a second, because he talks about this going on, and I'm not going to post this, but you can follow and you can read this in your own Bible. But you know, in verse 2, after the dot 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 dot, he goes, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. Remember that word mysterious. We're going to get back to that. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Now I'm going to go back to verses 4 and 5 in just a second, but he uses this word mysterious, when he's talking about this plan that God has, this mission that Paul is on, and how he has been given this mystery, this revealed mystery by God. And I'm not sure if you're like this, but I just want you to know, who in your room or in your house, do you enjoy a good mystery? Do you like the whodunits, or somewhere that there's been a secret kept and you're trying to unpack and solve this giant secret? I have a good time with mysteries. I love mystery shows, and I love figuring out the whodunits. A couple of years back, for a Christmas party, the staff got together and we did one of those murder mystery dinner nights, you know, and so we hung out together and we were eating dinner, and kind of in character, we dressed up as a bunch of people from the 1920s. It was really a lot of fun. And throughout the night, you're opening envelopes and you're figuring out who, you know, what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to say, and all this stuff. Well, all of a sudden, Andy gets up and he leaves the room. And, you know, we just figured, well, it's dinner time and maybe he had to go take care of something somewhere else, or, you know, whatever. And so we're just continuing to chat and hang out, and all of a sudden we hear this weird noise coming from the bathroom, and we're not sure what's going on in the bathroom, but we just hear this, you know, kind of a thing. And, you know, we're still focused on dinner and talking to each other there in the room, and all of a sudden Andy, after, I don't know, a couple of minutes, comes walking out, and he has this picture, has this post on his, the sign on his chest, with a couple of felt blood splotches cut out of felt on himself, and he says, "I have been murdered." And so for the rest of the night, Andy was not allowed to say a single word. It was so funny. He just was itching. He wanted to talk. He wanted to share something, but he couldn't because he was dead. He was the one that we were trying to figure out who had killed him and all that stuff. It was a great time. And by the way, April, our office administrator, she was the one in the mystery that had actually killed Andy. It was pretty fun, and we had a good time. And we loved having that opportunity to just have a good mystery, have a good laugh, and do that. Well, so God has the secret plan, and, you know, Paul was given access to it. And I don't know if it's you, but when I read a mystery, I actually like to go to the last page and I like to find out who did it. So then I can go back and I can see all the clues line up for who actually did the killing. You know, the thing is that God had a plan, and he had given Paul access to this plan, revelation to this mystery, to this secret. And, you know, we think of something that when it comes to a mystery, we think that it's something that's hidden, that needs to be discovered for ourselves. You know, kind of like the Sherlock Holmes mysteries or Host of Murder mystery dinner things. We know that there's like a secret that needs to be uncovered. Well, in their context, in Paul's context, when he's writing this to the Ephesians, the mystery refers to what is known only because God revealed it. So when Paul's talking about this mystery, this mysterious plan of God's, it's only been revealed because God is allowing it to be revealed. And so moving on here in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 3, Paul's kind of hyping this up a little bit, right? He's like, let me just tell you about this mystery, this plan that God has. He goes, as you read what I've written, you'll understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. For a millennia, God has been holding, for multiple millennia, God has been holding back for generations this plan. This moment where Paul is about to speak what this is, this mystery that had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And it's something that has not been shared with, not has been opened up to people beforehand. But at this moment, Paul is sharing this exciting thing that, from his reflection of when he's talking about, when I think about all of this good stuff, he goes, this is what I want to share. This is what you have to grasp. This is what you have to know. And it's this. He goes on because he's getting ready to drop the bomb. And so he shares all of that stuff about, you know, reading all this stuff and about revealing it to the holy apostles and prophets. It's been revealed to Peter. It's been revealed to John. It's been revealed to Paul, and they're sharing it, and they're experiencing this new revelation of this mystery that God has brought forth, and he's getting ready to share this. And this is what he does. In verse 6, he says, "And this is God's plan." Here we go. "Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are a part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Jesus Christ." Okay, this is a meaty, meaty verse. There's a lot going on here, and it's talking about sharing equally, right? The riches inherited by God's children. Both are a part of the same body. They both belong to Jesus Christ. Paul is saying something that is revolutionary at this moment, because prior to this, the Jews have said, "We worship the one true God. We are his kids. We are the only ones that have access to God. Everybody else doesn't have access. He has made a covenant with Abraham, and now through that genealogy, through all of that, all of the different tribes of Israel, we are the only ones that have access to the one true God." And now Paul is saying to these guys, there's a new revelation that was planned. The mystery was always there. The plan had always been there in place for God to do this cool thing, to bring Jews and Gentiles together. We all have been allowed direct access to God. Now, this was demonstrated, this was shared and brought forward when Jesus was on the cross. In the temple, there was this big, thick curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the inner rooms and from the rest of the temple. And when Jesus died on the cross, when he said it was finished, it is finished, the curtain got split in two. Now, this isn't just some little paper mache light little thing. This is a big, thick, heavy curtain that the Holy of Holies was only entered one time a year by the head priest, one time a year by the head priest. Only one guy could hang out in the Holy of Holies for a moment each year. And so that was where God hung out on earth, was in the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was there, and it was right there that when the chief priest were to go in there, then he would worship and pray and get word from the Lord, hopefully get to hear from God, and then he would come out. So anyway, what happened was when Jesus died on the cross and that curtain ripped, there was a symbolism saying God is no longer just residing in the Holy of Holies, but he is everywhere, and everybody has access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This, I believe, is the point of Rebecca's message last week, that all those that follow Jesus, that follow the gospel, that believe in the good news, all of those people can come together and are a part of one body. So the Jews, they were talking about circumcision. The Gentiles didn't care about circumcision. But God was saying, you all now have direct access to me. You are all now part of one body. You all are heirs into this kingdom. You all, those of you that follow me, all of you that call Jesus Lord, that believe it in your heart and confess with your mouths that Jesus is Lord, you have access to the throne room. So Rebecca was trying to get us to realize that we are to not get bogged down in the politics of life that can separate us, but come together on the one true thing that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that those of us that choose to follow and have Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to stop getting bogged down in the diverse things like circumcision for these New Testament Christians, all right? And come together under the banner of Christ. That is so exciting for me. That when we talk about being Foursquare or being Baptist or being whatever, it doesn't matter anymore, all those denominations, being Jewish, we can come together because of Christ, those that call on the name of the Lord. Are you getting this? There's one truth, one freedom, one Christ, and we can have access to the Lord God because of Christ's death and resurrection. It is God's plan to use this new church to turn the world on its head. And so the plan was revealed. And next, the next thing Paul shares is how this mystery has been implemented. Check this out. In Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, it goes on and says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is an interesting set of scripture here, because what he's talking about, what Paul is sharing, is that the purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This new church was designed to show the world how God operates, to the wonderment of the supernatural. God was saying, hey, angels, let me show you this plan. And in that, it was going to bring God glory. In this plan of Jesus' death and resurrection and the church coming together, one body coming together, giving the Lord all glory, honor, and praise, all coming together to recognize that at this moment, it's not just about the Jews being able to go to heaven. It is now the opportunity for Gentiles, for those who are not Jews, to be able to have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to get into the throne room. The church doesn't exist simply for the purpose of saving souls, though that is a marvelous and important part of the work of the church. But the supreme purpose of the church, as Paul makes explicit here, is to glorify God by manifesting his wisdom before the angels, who can then offer greater praise to God. Now, here's the thing. Some of you might be going, gosh, that's pretty arrogant for God to do that. I mean, who does he think he is, God? And, well, yeah, he is God. But let me just remind you of something. When we look at this and we read it, we take into it automatically our own context. And we aren't necessarily looking at this from a kingdom, heavenly kingdom context, but we're looking at it from our context. And so therefore, we can start to think of, hey, this sounds kind of arrogant that God would want to do this way, that he's doing all of this for his glory. Yet, when you think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our knowledge and our context is this big versus the infinite amount of God's context. Folks, today I want to tell you, let's get out of our own mindsets and worldviews, and let's begin to look at this from a kingdom mindset, from an eternal mindset, and look at a bigger picture of why God is doing this. He's wanting to do this to demonstrate his love for mankind, and to bring a sense of awe and wonder to the supernatural, to the heavenly host, to go, wow, God, you are so great that even though these people blew it and sinned and chose not to follow you, you still love them so much that you were willing to give your son as a sacrifice so that the entire world and generations to come would know you and have access to you and fall in love with you and worship you. And so in 1 John 3:14, it says that if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. And the thing is, when I talk about this verse, it's showing that this mystery is being implemented, that both Jews, Gentiles, who follow Christ, come together and are loving each other. This is to the wonder of the angelic hosts. How can two different groups come together? Only because God can knit them together under the umbrella of Jesus. The church is God's plan A, to reach the world, to show the world how amazing He is. And how's that plan working? Well, let me just tell you. I did a little research to look at some statistics, and right now, worldwide, there are 2.4 billion Christians out there. 2.4 people in the world that say they are Christian. Now, from the study in 1910, in Europe there were more than now. In 2010 was when this study took place. There was 66.3% in Europe in 1910, and now it's 25.9%. Things are kind of waning there. The Americas, early on, it was 27.1%. It's upticked to 36.8%. And now we're talking about how things are kind of waning in that area as well, in the Americas. But a lot of what is happening here is that people who were claiming to be Christian but weren't necessarily living their lives out in that way are finally going, you know what, really, I'm not a Christian. I just didn't know what else to put in the religion box. But really, I don't really believe in anything. We're seeing more of that. So that's where a lot of the decline is in that area. But people are still coming to Christ in America, in Europe. There is still a hunger to know Jesus. But here's where it gets cool. In Asia, there is a huge increase. It was at 4.5 in 1910, and in 2010, it's 13.1. There's growing in sub-Saharan Africa, 1.4% in 1910, and now 23.6. In the Middle East, it's pretty flat, but the thing is, at 0.7 in 1910 and at 0.6% in 2010. The interesting thing, though, is that we hear that people are still coming to Christ in Muslim countries. God is still at work. God is doing things around the world, and the church is His plan to reach the lost. His plan to change the atmosphere. God is on the move through His church, and I want you to be excited about that. Paul is excited about that. He's going, this is the revelation, that the mystery of all of this really amazing stuff. God wanted not just the Jews to have relationship, but He wanted the whole world to have relationship, to be reconciled back to Him for His glory. Because of people, true, it's not perfect. The church fails. The church messes up. Because He's putting it on people to do this, we still fall short. We still sin. We still mess up. We still have conversations against each other about circumcised and uncircumcised. You can fill in the blanks there with politics, with whatever it is. There's still issues that bring us butting heads. But let us remember, Christ is the one who brings us together. We may have different issues that we are fighting for, but may we begin to release those and come together under the banner of Christ. Which then allows us, because of all of this wonder, because of all of this glorifying God and the purpose and the plan of all of this being revealed and executed, now we can, because of all this, it allows us to exalt the Lord, to worship Him, as Paul does in finishing up this section of Scripture. Let me take you to verse 12. It says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now become, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I shared this earlier. Because of what Christ did for us, and God bring this to happen, we now have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have direct, personal relationship to the Creator of all things. We don't need a mediator. We don't need a high priest. We don't need anybody to go for us, to represent us to God. We can just go there. We are His kids. It talks in Scripture that we are heirs, as it says earlier in Ephesians. We are heirs. It is no longer something that us as people who are not Jews, how we're out there, too bad, so sad, sorry, you lose. No, now because of Christ, the mystery has been revealed. We can come together in relationship with Jews and Gentiles because of Christ. It is a beautiful thing. All of us have the opportunity to be with the Father because of the Son. The mystery, you guys, has been revealed. It's been implemented and it's been exalted. And Paul couldn't help but break his train of thought in the Scripture here to share those few thoughts with us. And I'm excited to be able to share it with you today. May you today get excited about what God has done for you and for me. May we not just grow callous to this relationship, but may we be so thrilled by it that we can't help but share it with other people. My prayer is that wherever you are, that you are reaching your sphere of influence for Christ, that you are becoming and are continuing to be the glory that God points to. When he says, "Do you see what they're doing? This is amazing. You're living for him. You're loving others as Christ has loved you. You're bridging the gap. You're no longer allowing divides to happen, but you are bringing unity through Christ in relationship with your neighbors and with those who don't necessarily think like you. You are showing them the love of Christ. And in so doing, the hope and prayer is that they will want to come to know the saving grace of Christ themselves. Right? That's what we do. That's why we live. So may it be that you do that. And I hope and pray that our COVID lives can open up and that we can come back together in church and that we can celebrate. And may it be that when those days come, that COVID won't stop people from coming to church. That whatever it is that may be holding people back from coming into this place, that'll happen no more. That people will be hungry to be in relationship with one another because of this relationship that we have with the Father. May you walk in this and may God get all the glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we've come together, that we've been able to dig into your word. Lord, that you have been able to reveal to us the same mystery that you revealed to Paul, that we can come together as one body, united under Christ. Lord, this is exciting. This is the way that you designed it from the very beginning of all creation. You had this plan, and I am so grateful for the love that you have for us to put that plan in place, to have that mystery solved, revealed, opened up for us to know and to experience and to say thank you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, for what you've done in our lives. Lord, would you help us? Help us to be an impact in the spheres of influence around us. May we, Lord, build your church. May it grow, and may you continue to do mighty, amazing things in us and through us. We praise you, God, and thank you in your name. Amen. Amen, you guys. Well, hey, I want to just finish up by saying this. If you have questions, comments, prayer requests, any of those types of things, would you just make those comments in the boxes below? Let us know what's going on in your mind so that we can communicate with you, so we can pray with you, so that we can engage in conversation with you. That's what we want to do, guys, is that we don't just want to be a video on the screen, but we want to engage in relationship through this time of separation that we find ourselves in because of COVID. All right, guys, also, if you gave your life to the Lord today, if you want to give your life to the Lord today, if you are rededicating your life to the Lord today, any of those kinds of situations, if you're doing that, would you let us know? Would you type in the box below, "I gave my life to the Lord," or "I want to give my life to the Lord," or "I'm renewing my commitment to the Lord today"? Any of those types of things, we want to know. We want to encourage you. We want to help you in this new journey that you are embarking on, or getting you reestablished in this journey. God is amazing, and His love for us is so big and so huge, and His Son did so much for us to allow us to come back into relationship. It is only appropriate that we decide and want to get into this kind of relationship with Him. It's eternity, you guys. It's life everlasting with no pain, no suffering, full of joy, love. It's that amazing for all time. Don't let this opportunity go by. Let us pray with you. Let us help you in this new journey of giving your life to the Lord. All right, you guys, thanks so much for being a part of TRC Online. We want to just encourage you to like the message, click subscribe, share the post, do all those fun things that you can do online, and may this message just go viral all over the world. Guys, take care. Have yourself an amazing week. We'll see you here next Sunday, 9 a.m. for another message from Ephesians. Once again, you guys, thanks a lot. Hope you're having a great afternoon. God bless you. And thanks for joining us right here at TRC Online.